Good morning and welcome, everybody. Tom Roten, Morning Show, News Talk 800 WVHU and online 800WVHU.com. On and off for the last couple weeks, I've talked about Michael Salmon, who is a pastor in Phoenix, Arizona. Last week, he was sentenced to jail. He has been serving a 60-day jail sentence. And the headline that I have given and the headline that you've heard about on Fox News and different places is Arizona pastor jailed for home Bible study. Is that the complete story, though? This has been a seven-year battle for Michael Salmon and his wife about having a church service at their home. To get some more insight on this and persecution in general for Christians and Bible believers, we're bringing in an Arizona resident. Jeremy Strang is the author of a book that's yet to be released, but it is going to be available real soon on PDF. It's Realities of a True Christian, website timetostand.com. And Jeremy, you live in Buckeye, Arizona. Is that a suburb of Phoenix?
Yes, sir. It's actually a far western, I guess you would say, suburb of Phoenix.
Okay.
So I'm out there a little ways.
Okay, I got you. But you don't actually know Michael Salmon, but you have been following this story. Is that right?
Yes, sir, I have been.
Okay. In fact, I saw on your website the link to the video that Michael and his wife did where they were talking about the whole situation and giving their side of the story. And certainly the thing that I focused on was, and by now folks are probably familiar with this story. We've got articles up on the Facebook page if they want to get some background there. But what I focused on was Michael saying, look, if I had some buddies over, a group of guys every Sunday to watch an NFL football game, would there be a problem? If we had a bunch of people over to play cards, would there be a problem? But because we're having people over for a Bible study, this has brought about a lot of legal trouble for he and his family, and now he's going to jail. And this has been a battle, and you'd have to go back and look at a lot of archives and so forth. This has been a battle now for 7 years that this man has had with the city of Phoenix.
Yes, that's right. And let me say right up front why I posted it on my sites. It's one, to be able to begin to discuss, well, is this persecution? Is this human error? What is this? And how can we take all of this and point people back to the truth of Christ?
Hmm. Well, I guess when you look at this, it's brought about some debate. And I think a lot of the focus has been on, this family just trying to have some folks over and have a Bible study. There was some problems that he ran into with city officials. And so he built a few years ago an additional building on his 4.6-acre property, and he basically called it a game room, which is a little bit disingenuous to call that a game room, because he was clearly having people over to his property, to that building, to have a Bible study or a church service. In fact, they actually have a name for the church there, and they do they actually have a sign out on the property, Jeremy? Do you know?
Well, I haven't been by the property myself just due to time constraints with my own schedule, and I'm hoping to maybe make some contact with them in the very near future. From the picture that I saw online, there is. Once again, what can we trust in the sources that we're reading, and are we going to just take one biased opinion through the whole thing? It's something we need to be very careful of.
Sure. And for Michael Salmon, he is in jail right now. That is a fact. We do know that. Most of the headlines say something about jailed for, home Bible study, something of that nature, which leads you to believe, he was just minding his own business, having a Bible study, and the police came in and arrested him. Well, there's a lot more to the story, obviously. There's also, by the way, a 3-year probation and a fine of $12,180. He was found guilty, a Phoenix court found him guilty of 67 code violations in connection to a building where he hosts a weekly Bible study group. And here's the thing. I as an anti-government person, a champion of personal property rights, I believe that a man ought to be able to do what he wants to do. If he wants to build a shack that's falling apart and have and people at their own risk want to come in and open up a Bible or open up a can of pop or whatever it is they want to do, they ought to be able to do that. He ought to be able to do that on his own property. But then you've got a situation where the man has chosen to live in Phoenix, and by choosing to live there, there are also certain codes and restrictions and so forth for their building, right?
Well, correct. And so we have a very fine balance. First of all, we don't even know, do we all, unless you personally know this family and this group of believers, we don't know the whole story anyway.
Right.
It's easy to jump on board, especially for me. You know, I am truly about making known the persecuted church around the world. Most people, especially professing believers in the United States, know nothing to little about it.
Yeah.
They know nothing to little about the truths of Scripture in regards to persecution for taking on the name of Christ. So we have this balance here that we need to really look at. You know, has there been some things maybe that wasn't handled correctly on the upfront? Well, we can look at least what we've read, and we can say probably there were some things that weren't quite right. And yes, do we have to obey the laws of the land as long as it doesn't defy Scripture? Absolutely. On the other hand, you know, maybe that has been admitted. Maybe it hasn't. We don't know all the aspects.
Right, right.
And because of that, what happens here is, yes, we are to obey our leaders. On the other hand, does it actually, what the leaders are doing, and those leaders of the city and, you know, they're all these code violations, do the code violations against the meeting of a church, shall we say, or a group of people, because really it's the group of people who make up the church. The building doesn't constitute church, at least of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And what happens is are those leaders actually doing laws that actually defy the First Amendment?
Mm. Yeah.
So there's an interesting twist there, at least within the government, inner workings of government itself,
mm-hmm.
let alone the fact that when you read Scripture, yes, we are told to obey the rules, and that, as long as it doesn't defy us in the worship of God and of Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
But on the same token, what we have is there's nowhere in Scripture that says that a man is able to define how the Church of Jesus Christ can meet.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Hang on, Jeremy. Let me take a time out here. Jeremy Strang is my guest, the author of Realities of a True Christian. TimeToStand.com is a website. We'll continue. We're talking about Michael Salmon, the ordained pastor who was jailed and in Arizona, and this was a result of him continuing to have this home Bible study on his property, and the Phoenix officials say that it was against city code. All right, we'll take a time out and be back. This is the Tom Roten Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Tom Roten Morning Show, News Talk 800 WVHU. Realities of a True Christian. That's the book that's due out by my guest, Jeremy Strang. And Jeremy, you're going to have a way for folks to read this online before it actually comes out in print, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're actually setting up a week here. In particular, we want to give away either a PDF copy or a direct ebook copy, which is, I guess, basically the same thing, to everyone who responds to us. And they can learn more by going to the website. We're still going to be updating that as we come into that. We're probably looking somewhere in the first of first or second, third week of August.
Okay. TimeToStand.com is the website, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, this book is you're dealing largely with the persecution of Christians. And, you know, I just heard about a story up in Dearborn, Michigan, where some Christians have been, you know, trying to witness to that largely Muslim populated city, and they're coming under some persecution there. And I think there are pockets of persecution in various places of the U.S., but by and large, American Christians do not have any clue of what real persecution is. I mean, people would need to have a little history lesson of the persecuted church in China, in Vietnam, in Russia, Germany, and even what goes on today in the Middle East.
Oh, that's right. Well, first of all, let me say this. I'm going to say this. I dare say that it stems back to the main issue of regeneration. And it's a word that most professing believers in our country don't even know. And many who do know it even, there's no piety in life. Mm. It's a word that's disappeared. There's no holiness, there's no sanctification, and there's no talk of these things. And that really is our stem problem from not understanding persecution. And from there, we can get into all kinds of things. But the Bible is actually quite clear on persecution. Jesus himself says, no man's greater than his father. No student is greater than his teacher. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And in Timothy, Paul warns Timothy, he says, hey, indeed all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And there's the key. But here's the thing. We think of persecution often as just this physical, outward manifestation of, like, hatred against a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is true, and that does exist. And is existing today in greater numbers than has ever been since the foundation of the early church. But what's interesting is they don't know all the different aspects. That much of it is social economic. You know, when a Christian person becomes a believer in other nations, one of the first things that happens is they can no longer find work.
Mm.
They're no longer given jobs. They're treated as subhuman class. And so what happens is there's all different forms and fashions of persecution. And persecution is one of the topics that I do talk about throughout the book, and then a specific chapter as well. But one of the things I've asked myself many times is that, okay, if this is if I'm truly living to be godly, I'm truly living to want to please my Lord, then there's a promise there. That persecution is a reality. And so what is my persecution today? And I really got to thinking about, well, what is it in America? Because there are believers here. There is persecution going on beyond that makes the media and the big time stuff. What is it? And you know, one of the aspects I find is that the constant bombardment of sin in our culture, the constant bombardment of sexuality in our culture, and the pressing down of everything that's unholy, everything from news media, watching, the nightly news, to all the different movies, everything just pointing us more and more deeper into sin. And, of course, nowadays, many churches don't even call it sin. They call it issues.
Mm.
Many Christian bookstores, you can't find a section on sin. It's called issues. So what happens is to those who are truly regenerate, really born again of God, who are the believers of Jesus Christ, one of the things God does in their lives is he begins to share his own heart with them. And if there isn't a sense that you're wanting to kind of run away from these things, a turning away from the sin, and actually, and at times maybe even making you, breaking you down to where you're just in so much prayer and even maybe weeping over the existence of sin and what it's doing in people's lives and what it's done in our lives in the past and what is still pressing upon us, if that isn't in us, we have to wonder if we're living godly for Christ, because that is a part of persecution, that we're constantly seeing all these things being bombarded by it, and we actually take on the actual heart of God and what he feels about some of these things. And it's not just this, I'm going to go out and preach a hard word so that I can be persecuted, and then somebody will, like I've heard Paul Washer say, will video themselves, put them on YouTube to say they were persecuted, when in reality they had no heart for the people they were going out to preach to.
Well, that's good. I've seen that, yeah. Somebody goes out and in the name of street preaching, just to, offend, purposefully offend someone. I mean, you don't have to purposefully offend someone. You preach the word of God, somebody's going to be offended. But sometimes these guys set out, they purposefully try to offend someone so they can get the cops called on them and then, you know, put it on YouTube and show all their buddies. I know what you're talking about there.
That's right. And I've done some street ministry. I still, you know, I have a family now. We're a growing family, and we're a homeschooling family. And you know, and I do work full-time in the medical field. And, you know, so I have this balance. So I can't just pick up and defy my family to go out and start preaching. On the other hand, if I go out and preach without having a love for the people, you know, if I'm a prophet and I'm given the gift of prophecy and not just to tell the future, but prophet, a true prophet just tells the truth
right.
of what God has declared. And so if I have all these things, what to say? You know, we're an empty noise. We're a gong. We're
yeah.
nothing.
Right.
We have not love. And so there's a lot of that going out there. And what that happens, it takes a toll on our message. People are more hardened to the fact that we don't want to hear from this group of hypocrites. We don't want this. And become ignorant to what the gospel even is. And so what we need to do is we need, through this, through like the Michael Salomon case, and through all these different things that we see going on in our society, in our closed, limited window of mind, we need to return to the aspect of who Christ is, and are we walking with him? You know, I'm blown away by, in chapter 5 of Genesis, it talks about Enoch, around verse 21, 22, 23, somewhere in there. And it says, "And Enoch walks with God." Now, Enoch had no Bible. Enoch had no men's group. He had no, quote-unquote, church meeting. He had nothing. He had something greater. He had God himself. And it's staggering. It's staggering to think, well, what do we know about this man? Well, you get to the book of Jude, and you find out what he actually said. And there's a wonderful couple of verses in there. Well, Enoch was considered a prophet, and what did he say? But it blows my mind to think, how did this Enoch walk with God? How did he know him in such an intimate, real, powerful way? Not to have some religion that denies the power of God. You know, the Bible's clear. You know, we're going to have this. We have this now. It's here. There's a great outpouring of, they have aspects of looking like they're religious, but they deny the power of God.
Right, right.
They do not know God. And so what I want to do is turn people back to Christ, that their boast and their focus is in knowing him, as it says in Jeremiah. That's the only thing we should boast in. We shouldn't boast in our groups. We shouldn't boast in the fact we're persecuted. We shouldn't boast in the fact that we do this, that, the other. We go to this church. I mean, look at the bumper stickers all over. We plaster them on the back of our car. I go to this church.
Yeah.
It's like it's some competition amongst everybody else.
Yeah.
And in a way, and I don't want to discredit if you have a bumper sticker, that's fine. I have no problem with that. I've had one in the past myself. But here's the thing. This isn't a competition. The body of Jesus Christ, she is one. Otherwise, the prayer of John, the prayer of Jesus in John 17, isn't real. It never got honored.
Yeah.
And what I find interesting, even in that, Jesus says, "Hey, this is what salvation is. Salvation or eternal life is that they may know you, God, and the Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That is what salvation is, and that is where our joy will come from." And we've been so distracted by all the media, all the news. I love the term. And I've heard it from a couple of different preachers that are alive this day. Most of them I've read about have passed on, and that is, are we willing to be shut up to God and to God alone? And therefore, and there, and in that place, we will then have to wrestle with God and God alone, and he will expose our sins, and he will expose who we are, and we will come to true repentance, and we'll have a joy in him. And then as we go out rightly preaching the gospel, that with our mouth, that with the style of our life, how we live, how we act, we move, we breathe, we are going to naturally, through what God has declared, Jesus Christ will be shown as the stumbling block. He will be shown in us. He is the stumbling block. And people will naturally then either come, we will be persecuted because we are truly living godly in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we don't have to try to be persecuted. We don't have to try to make a scene. We don't have to try to do any of these things. And I'm not saying that's the case with the Michael Salomon case. But we do need to have a good balance and a reminder that the believers around the world, they're persecuted not because they're Christians. most of their persecution doesn't exist because, okay, we're going to persecute this group of people because they're believers. There are a few groups out there who will admit that, but that's few and far between. It starts with breaking of a rule that was set by man in order to take those people and remove them. So therefore, Christians around the world are labeled as bigots. They're labeled as haters. We have that in this country. We have hate laws and hate crimes. And because our message, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is so radically beyond human nature and beyond every man-made form of religion, it naturally offends because we are depraved of heart.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about depravity. Why? Because then we have to deal with who we are. And in the midst of that, if we cannot believe that we are depraved, and this is, I'm talking also mostly to professing believers in our country. Mm. I talk mostly as if we cannot believe that we are depraved of heart and we are the sort of thing. We are wicked. We deserve the wrath of God. We also cannot believe that Jesus Christ took away our sins, because if we don't believe that sin came through the one man, we cannot believe that our sins will be removed by the one man, God, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. We can't talk about depravity because we're too busy patting ourselves on the back, telling ourselves how good we are. So that's a problem.
it is. And, you know, there's many issues to that. So, yeah. But all it's to say is that persecution is a reality. It's a truth for the true believer, no matter where you're at.
Yeah.
Will days come here in the United States? I do believe it. I do believe it's coming.
And I believe, I believe too, Jeremy, that it's going to come down to Christians having to meet in the home. And that's what drew me, because of that belief, to the Michael Salmon story. Well, I guess you and I both just have to wait and see what all comes out of this. And, you know, hopefully the truth will come out first and foremost. And you know, either way, we can still support Michael Salmon. And I know you intend to reach out to him and his family. And maybe we can have you back on and talk about how that goes. But, Jeremy, I want to thank you for coming on today. Appreciate it. Realities of a True Christian is the book, and if you want to learn more about it, go to timetostand.com. Jeremy Strang, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and if anybody has any questions about further persecution, they can get more on our website.
All right, good deal. Back in a moment. This is the Tom Roden Morning Show.